the Public News Service Daily Newscast, September the 13th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. The top issue for voters heading into the November elections, even above jobs and the economy, is a growing fear that American democracy is under threat. That's according to a recent poll.
A new democracy scorecard released by the nonpartisan group Common Cause aims to help voters evaluate their congressional delegation's commitment to campaign finance reform, ethics and transparency, and voting rights. Gavin Geis with Common Cause Nebraska says the state's lawmakers are not yet in sync with voters.
Unfortunately, here in Nebraska, our representatives are not getting on board with greater accessibility, accountability, and voting rights. For the most part, our representatives opposed these measures.
Researchers tabulated votes on a series of key reforms, including legislation that would expand the freedom to vote, reduce the influence of big money in politics, protect elections from racial discrimination, and curb partisan gerrymandering. Geis notes Nebraska Republicans Adrian Smith of Scottsbluff and Don Bacon of Omaha both did support legislation to provide greater ethics accountability in courthouses. I'm Eric Galatas.
A Pennsylvania group made up of members of locally elected volunteer school boards across the state is urging the General Assembly there to take action to reform the funding system for charter schools. More on that from our Danielle Smith.
Pennsylvania's current charter school funding formula was established in 1997 as part of the state's charter school law and hasn't been changed in the 25 years since. Lawrence Feinberg, who heads the Keystone Center for Charter Change, says the group is advocating for two main issues to ensure that school districts and taxpayers are not overpaying or reimbursing charter schools for costs they do not have.
The first is that we'd like to see a single statewide tuition rate for cyber charter schools that reflects the actual cost to deliver education in a virtual environment. And the second is the special ed funding formula for charters to work the same way that it does for our district schools.
Feinberg says the latter would address the severity of a child's disability and the related costs. More than 160 brick and mortar and 14 cyber charter schools educate 135,000 students, according to the Pennsylvania Department of Education.
NBC News reports lawyers for former President Donald Trump Monday asked a judge to continue blocking the Justice Department from reviewing classified documents seized from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. The U.S. District Judge in the case, Eileen Cannon, last week temporarily blocked the DOJ from using records seized from the Mar-a-Lago search. The DOJ challenged her order later in the week. This is PNS. A program that gives low-income people vouchers to buy fresh fruits and vegetables may see its county funding cut in half. That at the Board of Supervisors meeting today in Los Angeles.
The county has to decide how to spend the second round of funding from the American Rescue Plan, and it's proposed spending $1 million for next year, down from $2 million in allocated for this fiscal year. Frank Tamborello with Hunger Action Los Angeles says the cuts would be counterproductive.
It would basically undo a lot of the work that we're now being able to do with the first phase of the funding, which is to expand into more truly needy areas and to also expand the program from just farmers markets to regular grocery stores and corner stores and things like that.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Other groups calling on the county to reject the cuts include the American Heart Association, the California Alliance of Boys and Girls Clubs, and a group called United Parents and Students. Meantime, an organization that defends the rights of thousands of farm workers in Ohio and other states is creating its roadmap for the future.
The Farm Labor Organizing Committee recently held its 14th quadrennial convention in Northwest Ohio. Committee President Baltimore Velasquez explains one major challenge is that farm workers aren't protected under the National Labor Relations Act because they aren't defined as employees. Some experts suggest that Congress wanted to protect the family farmer from the effects of collective bargaining in the 1938 law. But Velasquez argues it was actually to appease segregationists.
President Roosevelt needed the Southern Dixiecrats to vote in favor of the law, and their condition was keep agricultural workers out because most agricultural workers were black, and they didn't want black people to have the same rights as white people. And we've been living with that racist legacy ever since.
Velasquez notes that while black laborers were the group most impacted at the time, now most farm laborers are Mexican-Americans and Mexicans. Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Mike Mullen lets us know supporters of a long-standing North Dakota law that emphasizes family farms are celebrating its 90th anniversary this year.
The state's anti-corporate farming law came together through a citizens' initiative in 1932 when Midwestern farmers were going bankrupt and out-of-state financial institutions were handling those cases. The law was meant to protect the land from being swallowed up by larger operations. North Dakota farmer Richard Schlosser says today, smaller independent producers still are dealing with outside forces.
The threat is there of the disadvantage of a young farmer beginning that has to go up against, corporate money, so to speak.
The USDA says roughly 40% of American farmland is owned by non-operators who lease it out. And with land prices soaring...
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener-supported, or an interesting radio station's your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.